All right, get your Bibles out. We're going to use the Bible a lot this week, this day. So use your Bible. I open it up to John 21. Kevin is awesome. He is usually one of our main speakers, but he pushed me to be one of the main speakers today. And I took his place. So he's a man of true humility, and I'm really excited to be here. All right, so John 21, let me read this, verses 15 through 19. This is after Jesus has resurrected. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Feed my lambs." And he said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." Let me pray. God, we come before you asking that you would open us up to receiving, to knowing, to grasping the glory of God for just a second, just a brief moment, that we may know you and just feel our heart's affection leap for you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've got enough men conferences out there, a lot of conferences out there that will say, man up, be a man, all that kind of stuff. They are just passionate about you just being a man. That's it, just being a man, whatever that means. And so we've got all of these slogans that we use to each other, telling every man they're struggling with porn. You say, "Man up, man, come on, no. No porn, none of that stuff." And we have a lot of this stuff, and I know there's a lot of different kinds of people here, Christian, non-Christian, older, younger, father, son, a lot of different relationships going on here. And my prayer is that this would be a conference that's not just, you're not just hearing how to act like a man or man up or be a man or something like that, but this is a conference where you would walk away in awe of the man, Jesus. That would be the thing that you're walking away with just completely humbled by. Because I don't care at all if you don't look at pornography if you don't love Jesus, because you're going to hell. You're just going to hell a little more pure on earth. I don't care about all of those kinds of things if you don't know Jesus. And so we got to start there. We got to get you in that realm. We got to get you in that world. And so all that I'm going to talk about today really has nothing to do almost with manhood. It's about Jesus. So I'll throw out a couple man words just to remind you. We'll say wiener a couple times, maybe balls a couple times. Okay, and that's it. Now we're going to talk about Jesus. You're at a man's conference. You know that, all right? So you got that. But my goal is to get you around Jesus. Around Jesus. All right. You got it out? You got it out. All right. So Peter's an interesting man. This always happens to me, I swear. You guys are all dirty, and I'm glad you're here. So the Apostle Peter, I'm not going to recover from this, am I? The Apostle Peter, he in this text, this is at the end of his time with Jesus, when he's starting to let some things sink down in his mind. He's starting to really understand a few things after he sees Jesus resurrected. See, before that, we see Jesus on the shore and Peter in the boat after Jesus had died, and Peter's in the boat fishing, going back to his regular job, and he sees Jesus, and he throws on his coat, and he jumps in the water and goes after him. Goes after Jesus. He's just so passionate about him. I can't believe he's alive. And he just jumps, which is a completely different reaction than when he was in, after he betrayed Jesus and saw Jesus and he ran away in shame. Completely different reaction. And many of you are probably at a place, many of us are probably at a place where we're more likely to cower away from Jesus. When we start looking at our sin, when we start thinking about all of the things that we carry around, like the porn addictions and just the abuse we give to women and those kinds of things that we carry around with us, we tend to run away from Jesus. But thankfully, Peter was very slow to get to that place, like many of us, right? Because I know for myself, I'm very slow to get to the place where I see Jesus as he is, and I'm willing to jump out of the boat and just go hard after him. Just go crazy to meet with Jesus, to be connected with him, to be, have a relationship with him. And I know that this word gospel is kind of a buzzword in the Christian world, but it's not a buzzword when it becomes a radical identity. When it becomes something deep in your soul, it's not a buzzword. It's not that. It starts becoming actual good news. And so I want to look at Peter's life. I want to walk through his life and see, starting from this passage and going backwards and seeing his progression to understanding how to become a man, how he became a man, completely different than how most of us think you become a man. And so let's look at Peter's journey. Let's back up a few chapters, chapter 13. Chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. This is when Jesus is washing his disciples' feet. He laid aside his outer garments and taking a towel, tied it around his waist, and then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" And Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterwards you will understand." And Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash your feet, you have no share with me." Now, in our world, we're raised, in the Christian world, we're raised to believe that it's our job to serve God. And rightly so, right? It's our job to serve God. After all, we're Christians, we're Christian soldiers, all of these things. We are here to serve God and serve him. And that's true, but that's not full enough. It's not full enough. See, Jesus doesn't call us to simply serve him. Peter had the mindset that many of us have, that I must wash Jesus' feet, that I must serve him, right? How many of you have that mentality? And your pastor might tell you that, or the Christian friend might tell you that you need to serve Jesus, you need to work harder, you need to do these kinds of things and that kind of things. That's half the truth, because you do need to do that, but that's not dwelling in the realm, in the world that I want us to dwell in. See, Peter went through this thing where Jesus looks at him in the eye and says, "Will you wash me? Will you, if you do not let me wash you, you have no part of me." And that's a huge shift for Peter, thinking, wait, I thought I was the one who was supposed to be washing Jesus' feet. See, we have to start in the world by saying, I must let Jesus wash my feet. Jesus has to wash my feet. Because if I'm just going out and saying, I'm going to wash Jesus' feet, you're missing so much. Now, some of you probably think, you know, I mean, if you're searching in your soul and you're saying, I'm too dirty to let Jesus wash me. It's just much easier to wash Jesus' feet because I'm just too dirty, and I don't want him to deal with all of the dirt in my life. you know, whatever it might be, if you're doing drugs, if you're stealing from your boss, if you're just not getting a job, if you're looking at pornography, if you're doing all of these kinds of things, you say, I'm just too dirty for it, and I can't let Jesus wash my feet. Or maybe some of you are way prideful, and you think, I don't need Jesus to wash my feet. I go to church every week. I give money. I am nice to my friends and all of those kinds of things. I don't need Jesus to wash me. Now, you'd probably be hard-pressed to actually admit that, but the bottom of it is, the bottom of your life is actually saying, I don't need Jesus to wash my feet. I'm here to serve him. I'm here to serve him. Now, I know that Jesus was desperate for Peter to get this journey, and it didn't just end there. But you see Peter's reaction after he started understanding, no, Peter, you must let me wash your feet, or you have no part of me. And Peter's like, well, okay, then wash my head and my feet, head to feet, wash all of me. And he's coming to Jesus with this reaction, like, I want all of me washed. I want everything. And most of you want to go out there and you want to serve the city. And you want to serve your wife, your wife, and you want to serve the church and all of these kinds of things, which we're talking about all today. But you do that out of a motivation that is unwashed, out of a heart that has not been made clean, that a heart that says, no, Jesus, I don't need you. I'll do it myself. Now, practically, do you do that? Practically, do you do that? Now, let's keep going. Later on, Peter's still learning hard lessons. Jesus was seemingly so hard on him. And later on in this chapter, verses 36 through 38, Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow afterwards. And Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. And Jesus answered, will you lay your life down for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow till you have denied me three times. Now again, you hear so much that you have to give your life to Jesus, but often miss the fact that it isn't your life he wants. It's his life he wants to give to you. The only thing you bring to God is your sin. You're not bringing this awesome gift, this awesome talent, this awesome thing that God is just going to look at and say, this is my snowflake. This is my precious snowflake that I formed beautifully and is so special to me. And Jesus is reminding Peter in this, no, it's not about you dying for me. It's about me dying for you. And so many of us carry around this mindset so often that we must go out and die for Jesus. That's what authentic Christianity is, and that's what hardcore varsity level Christianity is going out dying for Jesus. I mean, that's what we all want to do, right? But he's saying, no, Peter, you will die for me. He knows Peter will die for him. But there was something he had to get first. Because many people, as we know, will say, Lord, Lord, do many things in his name, will die in his name. And Jesus will say, depart from me, I never knew you. And how many of us just continually dwell in this world, in this place where we want to wash Jesus' feet, where we want to die for Jesus, but we don't want to dwell in the world where he washes us, he cleanses us, he makes us worthy. God doesn't need you to die for him. He doesn't need Peter to die for him. He needs you to live for his fame, for his glory. That's why he created you. That's why he created. He didn't create you just to serve him. He didn't create you just to be his warrior and all those things. That's part of it. He created you to know him. And so many of us skip past that part. Like, I got that, Jesus. Give me something hardcore. I'm a man. I want some real manhood. And you miss the fact that Jesus washes you, that Jesus dies for you. And I love Jesus' question. I mean, how hardcore can Jesus get looking at you and saying, can you, Peter, die for me? Can you die for Jesus? You living in Ohio, dying for Jesus. Can we? Can we live for Jesus? Can we die for Jesus? The bigger question in that is, has he died for you? Has he died for you? Has the cross been applied to your life over and over and over and over and over again? Because we cannot get outside that world. Manhood is reminding ourselves and others constantly that Jesus washes us, that Jesus is the one who died for us. And finally, I wanna ask, can Peter defend Jesus? It's a famous story in the Garden of Gethsemane. Peter again going at it. He's a man, right? He's a fisherman, such a tough guy. He's gonna serve Jesus, he's gonna die for Jesus, and now he's gonna whip out his little sword and defend Jesus. We see in verses chapter 18, verses 10 and 11, Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, put your sword into its sheath. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me? You think a godly man is making sure you have the right theology to defend Jesus. You, like the architect of your very mouth needs you to speak up for him. The one who created everything about you, your brain, needs you to stick up for him, to defend him. You think a godly man goes out, shoots guns, right? We love to go out and shoot guns. We love to have hammers and use them sometimes, you know? We have hammers and stuff. That's what manhood is. All that junk manhood stuff is not the defense that Jesus needs for us, for him. A real man doesn't defend Jesus. A real man lets Jesus defend us. And we have to stop there. I know a lot of you are like, oh, what about apologetics? And what about, you know, knowing, like, we need to be able to defend, you know, you're not saying all that. And I'm not saying all that. We need all of those things. We must give a defense for what we believe. But we often jump the first realm again. We jump out of the world that says, Jesus defends me, and go straight to, I'm going to defend Jesus. I'm going to be like Peter, pull out my little dagger, and he can't even do it. Like, come on, cut the dude's head off. You're swinging, and I mean, can you imagine? It's like left-handed or something. He gets his ear. And all the disciples are probably, come on, I mean, Peter, you're a fisherman. Why do you even have a sword? Put it away. Like, get some line out. Cut, you know, something. So Peter's like many of you. Like, you all go out there and you're like, I'm going to defend Jesus. I'm going to make his name great, and I'm going to defend him over and over and over again. I'm going to go out and I'm going to have the best theology so I can defend him theologically, and I'm going to fight for Jesus, and nobody's going to mess up the theology. All these kinds of things come out, and what Jesus is constantly saying to Peter is, look, I don't need you to do this. I am here to bear this cup, this weight. Don't defend me. This is what I came here for. I came here to die on a cross. I came here to die on a cross for you, Peter. For you. And for you, men. Don't jump that realm. Don't jump that world that says, look, I got this, Jesus. I'm on to phase two Christianity. None of you ever should move on to phase two. There is no phase two except in glory when you're dead. We must stay right here. We must stay right here. We do not need to defend our king. Our king carries the sword. Our king is mighty. Our king is great. And we just need to start talking about that. And maybe more and more, the more we move out of the way and give glory to God, the more that we stop celebrating pastors and we stop celebrating programs and churches, the more we start celebrating Jesus, then we'll probably start seeing more people dying for Jesus, more people defending Jesus, more people out serving the city, serving their wives, doing all of these kinds of things, because we're staying in the realm that we're supposed to stay in, which is all about Jesus. It's not about you. It's not about what you can do, and you're proud of it. You're constantly walking around saying, thank you, Lord, that I don't need, you don't need me to serve you, but you let me serve you, that I get to serve you because you served me, because you've washed my feet, because you've washed the sin in my life. Now, this is where the church, you men, need to start with manhood. This is what it means to be led, to be led. And I'm telling you, if you skip out of that, if you jump over that phase, that realm, you are constantly going to find yourself angry, frustrated, depressed, just always carrying the weight of salvation. When over and over again, Peter's getting rebuked, just as you are getting rebuked, and Jesus is saying, look, look, men, you want to put away your boyish ways, you're going to have to start leaning into me, letting me lead, because I created you. I kind of know what I'm doing. You will be dead. I will still be alive. I have been here since the beginning of creation. I created it. Who are you, oh man? That's where we must start. And yes, you must serve him in ministry. You must love your city. That's what Peter did. Peter was wholly invested in this. Yes, you must give your whole life up for him. You must pick up your cross and follow him. And Peter did this. And yes, you must read to give an answer for Jesus, defend his name, his glory. Peter did all this. But he had to go through a journey that many of you haven't gone through. He had to go through some things that many of you have skipped. He had to learn some really hard lessons, and I think it's phenomenal that Peter was actually with Jesus throughout this, and he's still not getting it. And many of you are with Jesus. It's not like you're completely lost, non-Christian, just out in the world, not knowing who Jesus is because you've skipped all that. But Jesus is constantly pulling Peter back in and saying, I must wash your feet if you want to know me. I must die for you if you want to know me. I must defend you if you want to know me. Peter was constantly quick to give everything to him, and slow to be washed, died for, and defended. And Peter's entire discipleship relationship was Jesus showing him his need for a Savior. And when Jesus rises from the dead 3 days later, and Peter finally notices Jesus standing on the shore, finally, Peter's like, I got it. I think I got it. Jumps out of the boat, goes after Jesus. He's learned all of these lessons. He finally says in the end of John, now I believe. Now I believe. And this whole time, I will never betray you, Lord. How many of you have heard people say that in your world, in your life, and they have totally betrayed you, have totally left the faith, have totally walked out on Jesus, have totally given up on all of those things for something else, for a better thing, for a more attractive woman, for a more attractive job, or something so ridiculous, so temporary. I've had many men in my life who have come to me and said, I will never betray Jesus. And I see that all of those cases, men have jumped over realm one, the realm that says, the cross is for me, the cross must be applied to me, and jumped straight to, I'm going to defend Jesus. I'm going to die for Jesus. I'm going to take over the world. I'm going to charge hell with a squirt gun. Like, how ridiculous. Serious. And Peter is getting this lesson. Peter's getting this lesson. His reaction is totally different when he betrayed him and the rooster crows. He didn't run in shame, fear, or guilt. And that's my goal for many of you here. My goal is that you men aren't going to leave here just running away in shame and fear and guilt, saying, you don't know Jesus, pastor, whoever, what I've looked at. You don't know what I've done. You don't know all these things. And clearly, the whole point of this is like, I don't care. I'm not here to take you in. I'm here to give you me. That's why I came. Because you're going to fail in ministry. You're going to betray Jesus. You may miss everything before you even start, if you don't hear what Jesus is teaching Peter. He says, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me. Memorize that. Or will you lay down your life for me? Put your sword into its sheath. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me? Did you hear Jesus in this? Did you hear what he's constantly saying over and over again? Jesus and Peter's final conversation shows a truly transformed Peter. It's like he's starting to actually get it. Do you love me? Yes. Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Yes. Feed my lamb. Do you love me? Lord, you know everything. You're the king. And I'm just a servant in your kingdom. I'm here to give my life to you, but you have come as the king to give your life and serve me. That is upside down kingdom. That is Christianity that our world does not know. And Peter's finally, I get it. I finally get it now. And Jesus' last words to him here in this passage, follow me. See, the thing is you men cannot follow Jesus. You can't pick up your cross and follow after him until you understand that cross that you're picking up is for you. It's for you. That Jesus coming to earth is here to serve you. That him dying and being arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane was to defend you. Let's get that. Let's get that and start there. And then we can start talking about how to follow him, but never, ever, ever leave this realm. Never leave this world. We must not think that we're better. Let's pray. God, we come before you as broken men who are desperate for grace. Upon grace, upon grace, upon grace. Lord, would you just dump it on us as we constantly are quick to jump out jump out and say, we got this, Lord. God, would we lead in weakness? Would our identity be so wrapped in you, in the cross, that all of the things that we hold on to would be washed clean? All of the things that we constantly bring to the table would be crucified. And we ask your Spirit to come and convict us of this, as many, many men want to get beyond the cross, and your Spirit calls us to go deeper into it. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.